a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey,
hey,
hey. It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you this morning. And yes, the greenhouse is on the road this morning. We are coming to you from Olson's Greenhouse, and Brian Lloyd is also with us this morning. And what a gorgeous morning. And other than I was given a few wrong directions, I am so happy to be here. Good morning, Ton.
Good morning. How are you doing?
My heart is pounding about a million miles per hour.
You walked in style, just right on time and
through my purse,
no
all
problems.
The things just went everywhere. And here we are on this beautiful morning. Brian, thanks for having us out here this
morning.
Yeah,
thanks for coming out. It's always a beautiful morning out in the greenhouse, but it's a beautiful morning outdoors as well.
That's right. Well, we're surrounded by beautiful plants, so how could things be bad on a morning like this?
Yes, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Let's start with our plant of the week. Tom, what are we talking about?
Well, we're
going to
talk about ranunculus. Sometimes they're called buttercups. They're in the same family, and they're blooming right now in a very useful, what we usually grow as an annual. And since we are here at Olson's, and Brian is an authority and very knowledgeable about all things annuals, I thought it would be a nice fit. So the ranunculus are plants that are often overlooked, in my opinion, and they come in multiple colors. Brian, would you like to elaborate on the how to grow them and why and what the advantages are?
Yeah, they're probably one of my favorite early spring flowers. They just have these gorgeous double blooms, tons of petals overlapping each other that are big, you know, almost softball size most of the time. And they're a great early spring flower. So they're one of the first signs of spring, and they show a lot of color. And because they'll take some cold weather, some even freezing temps from time to time, and they start blooming early as well. They're one of the few flowers that don't need long days to bloom. So when the days get longer than the night times, a lot of flowers trigger that blooming response. Well, ranunculus do that without that trigger. And so they're blooming this time of year. They're great for containers. They're good in flower beds. If you want to get out and dig and plant them in the yard, you can totally do that. But most people use them in containers, and that's where they fit best.
So are they a shade or a bright
light? They need
light?
Full sun.
Full sun? Okay.
They need at least 6 hours of sun to continue blooming. But once they're in bloom, you could put them in the shade, Maria, and still get some enjoyment out of them. They just need that full sun to keep setting more and more blooms.
How about water?
Average amounts of water.
Yeah.
It's going to be cooler, and so even the containers outdoors during this time of year are not generally going to need water daily.
Right.
You're still going to want to stick your finger in there and check it out, but you know every few days it's probably going to need some water because they are in artificial soil, and those blooms should last until we start to get hot.
Okay, do they have to be planted in pots? Can you plant them directly into your flower beds?
You can totally put them in flower beds. If you can work the soil, you can definitely. They make a great back border plant. They get about 8 to 12 inches high usually. And so they're great in the middle of beds, the front of beds, or the back of beds. Doesn't matter. But the containers are best because usually you can get fresh potting mix and you can work that soil this time of year.
All right, I'm laughing because Ton just got dripped on.
Oh, it's all good. It's my greenhouse passed. It's just part of the
territory. Oh, you didn't even notice. I was the one that was noticing that you're getting dripped on.
It's all good. So ranunculus are one that we consider an annual, and they don't generally overwinter. They don't like our heat, and then they don't like the absolute cold. Now, I did talk to a friend who is a very experienced horticulturist who has gone back to school to be an attorney, of all things. But she has a huge yard, huge garden. And what she'll do is get the corms, or what we call bulbs, and put them in her flower beds on the south side of her home. She says it has to be the south.
A protected.
Protected south. And then she covers them with 3 or 4 inches of mulch. And then come March, mid-March, when it starts to be in the 50s, she'll rake off that mulch a little bit. And she's overwintered 70 or 80% of what she's planted over through her experimentation. It has to be a south exposure. You have to have the mulch on top. But it is possible if you're adventurous, because these are usually, if you buy them in the fall, not super expensive. But if you're adventurous and want to try it out, there is some potential to overwinter them in an extremely protected spot. But they are so inexpensive that I'm kind of lazy sometimes. And so a lot of times I just want to buy the started plants in the spring.
Right. But where there is a will, there is a way, usually, with gardeners. And if you experiment enough, you can usually find a way to overwinter some of those things.
I would say ranunculus, though, are one of the hardest crops that we grow. And they're finicky on the amount of water that they need throughout the winter as they continue to grow. They take a long time to grow throughout the winter. So that's why you do need to put them in the fall to get them to bloom in the spring. And so if you can plan out and you want that adventure, go for it. But we've taken all the guesswork out of it for you, and have them here in the greenhouse ready to go now.
I was reading up just to make sure I was, trying to be correct in my information and things. And I read 3 or 4 sources that just said, don't try to save the bulbs. They're hard to take care of. They're hard to store at the correct humidity. They're cheap enough. Just buy them. And so this would be for the adventurer who are experienced horticulturists and want to do this. They can, but from several universities, they said, it's just easier to buy these in the spring.
Right.
So.
Right.
All right. So most of us aren't that adventurous. And I've been adventurous in some areas and been a complete failure. But if you're used to that and every once in a while you want to give it a shot, that's the thing to do. Otherwise, be like the rest of us and buy the plants and put them in and don't torture yourself too much. And you're listening this morning to the KSL Greenhouse. We are coming to you from Olson's Greenhouse. We are with Brian Lloyd, and thank you for having us today. And I'm excited to learn what fun things that you have that are out in Home Depot and Walmart today, where everybody can start planting their containers.
So many fun things. It's going to be a great day to talk about flowers and bedding plants. That's what Olson's does. We sell to Home Depots, Walmarts, and Costco's throughout the state. And we're just excited to have the greenhouse show here today.
Okay. Anything fun and new as far as plants go this year?
There's all sorts of new
stuff. I
mean,
I'm sitting in the middle of a ton of plants, and right now I can't identify all of them. But
so most people don't realize that there are breeders that work on flower colors and genetic habit and things like that all the time. And this year is a great year for new introductions. There are so many new colors out there this year. From early spring things, like we just talked about, not necessarily ranunculus, but other things like pansies, perennials that bloom this time of year, like rockcress and things like that. All the way through mid-spring and into the summer, there's lots of new colors coming out this year, coming down the pike. And we'll talk about, I think, some of those a little bit more today throughout the show.
Yeah, what are some of the fun things to put in containers today?
Today I'd like to talk a lot about Calibricoa, which is... It's kind of like some people know it as a mini petunia. Mm-hmm. Calibricoa has become a lot more popular in recent years, and that's where breeders seem to be focusing their efforts. There's so many new colors and bicolors, tricolors coming out. There's double blooms. I have some here on the ground that they bred it from the single flower that's traditionally been known as to this double flower that doesn't close up and doesn't dry out as quickly. But the amount of colors and so many things, and they're great for containers because they mound and trail. And so they're great for a filler and a spiller. They take up a lot of space in the container. And then they trail over the edge and just give a lot of color and bring a lot of punch to that container.
I'm going to have Caitlin take a picture of that in a minute and put it on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page so people can see exactly what it is that you're talking about this morning.
Yeah, so Caliber Koa, and the biggest thing is every year there's something new to talk about. We probably grow 100 varieties of Caliber Koa, and there's probably thousands that are out there in existence. And so we love this flower. We use it in everything from our containers to our hanging baskets to little pots. You can put them in flower beds or containers. And they're just so versatile, but I love them because there's always something new to look at.
Okay, you can now see it on the live stream. We put it up on our table here, and I don't think this is one that I've ever grown.
Caliber Koa, well, the double Caliber
Koa. The double Caliber
Koa. Right.
Koa.
So we're showing the double Caliber Koa. It's fairly new genetics. It's maybe been out, well, I guess for 10 years now. But that can
so
be.
So I'm behind. Is that what you're saying, Brian?
Well, we haven't grown a ton of them because they've been improving them for more and more bloom count.
Oh.
They first, you know, when you breed a new flower, first you get kind of the habit that you're looking for, and then you perfect it. And it takes several years to do that. And it's, I would say, just in the last few years, it's gotten to the point where these things will continue to put out blooms. But the great thing about the double flower is they don't dry out as easily. So if you miss a watering, they still look great. They're like the modern-day busy person's flower because they continue to take all the abuse you can give them and keep on blooming their heads off, and the colors are great. These are pastel colors, but they come in all sorts of bright, punchy colors as well.
Yeah, we're looking at light pink and yellow, and I think you described it well, don't you think, Ton, is a mini petunia.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. When these were first introduced, I often saw them in the same genus as petunias. They've been switched to a different one, but they're still closely related. And they're just fabulous trailing plants. You can use them in flower beds or containers. And with all these new genetics and the new breeding, I'm just always amazed every year at what comes out. Because when I was in the nursery industry 15 or 20 years ago, this stuff just didn't exist.
Yeah, and it's stunning. I think I've seen them used not in a full planter the way that I'm seeing this now, so maybe that's why I'm a little confused, Brian. But it is gorgeous just as the one plant in a planter like
that. Yeah, this is considered a monoculture because there's only one gene, one species in this hanging basket, but there's three different colors, and that's how we get the kind of a combination of colors, and we get some contrast going on in the container. But it's still one variety, and you can do that all the time. You don't have to mix five or six different varieties to make a good-looking container.
All right. We already have our callers lined up this morning. The number for you to call, be part of the program, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaios, Ton Bettis with you. We are with Brian Lloyd this morning at Olson's Greenhouse, just sitting in the middle of a beautiful nursery full of beautiful plants. And a reminder that you can get all of these plants for your containers and your flower beds right now at Home Depot, Walmart, and at Costco. So when you're out shopping this morning, make sure and check out all the beautiful varieties. Let's get right back to our... Let's see. I did have phone lines up a minute ago. Let's get to our phone lines. And this morning we have Al in Layton. And good morning, Al. What is your question this morning?
Hello. Am I on?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Val. Hey, last summer, about midsummer, the leaves on my two lilac bushes just went dry and brittle and started falling off way early. And I just wondered if that was some kind of a disease or something I could do about it.
Well, it very well could have been. Let me ask you a few questions to just see. When they went dry and fell off, did anybody do, to your knowledge, any dandelion killer in the lawn or 2,4-D?
No. No, that was not done.
Okay. Then, because it's really uncommon for two shrubs to just go down at the same time unless they're root grafted into each other. So in your yard, okay, so they're about 20 feet apart. In your yard, did any other shrubs or any other plant show any symptoms or stress?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, I'm hesitating a little bit because it's uncommon for them to do that, but it is possible. How long had the lilacs been in the yard?
14 years.
14 years, so they're really not that old either. It's generally, I start to see them decline when they're getting 25, 30, 40 years old. But for both of them to have gone down like that, there are some root diseases like verticillium and phytophthora that if they were stressed, that would definitely take them down quickly. And so, had they shown any signs or symptoms before?
No, this was really the first year that I'd had any issues
okay.
with them.
Okay, and have you looked at them to see if they're re-leafing at all this year?
Yes, they're just beginning to get some little green leaves on them, so they seem to be coming
Good.
Back.
That would indicate that it was not verticillium or phytophthora, because if it was, they would be dead. So what I would encourage you to do is maybe just give them a little bit of fertilizer, just not a ton, but maybe, you know, a half of a cup of 2000 or 3616, or if you have some lawn fertilizer, as long as it doesn't have weed and feed, that would be fine. So give them a light fertilization, and just to, I'm thinking something in the environment did it instead of a disease, and what I would do is maybe just once every 3 or 4 weeks, if they're in your lawn, get a little lawn sprinkler and sprinkle them to soak them in, just to make sure that it wasn't a drought thing that caused it.
All right. Okay, so likely not a disease, just take good care of them, should be okay. Huh?
Yeah, well, if they're re-leafing, that's a really good sign. Now, there could be some residual energy in those branches, and they could collapse still, but where they're trying to re-leaf, all you can do is be patient and hope that they do recover from whatever got them.
All right. Okay, well, thanks for your advice.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks for your phone call this morning. Now, let's go to a phone call from Randy in Layton. And, a text from Randy in Layton. And, Ton, he wants to know what product or products he should use to correct clay soil in a raised garden bed.
Now, there isn't really going to be anything that's going to be a miracle product to transform clay soil, and it's going to be a slower process, but you can definitely garden in clay. Clays are actually very productive. They store a lot of nutrients, and so the best thing to do is 2 to 3 inches of compost mixed into the flower bed, and you're going to do that every fall. You can still do it this spring, but I like to do it in the fall, let that decompose, and then put another inch or so in the spring. So I'm doing it 4 or 5 inches a year to really get that going. And once I've got that clay soil kind of loosened up and in shape, then composting with a couple inches in the spring or fall would keep it where he needs to be.
Okay, the next texter would like to know, they say the previous owner brought in topsoil, buried parts of all of the trunks of the trees, and they want to know if they need to remove that topsoil
yes.
and bring it back down.
They do.
So what is that doing to those poor trees?
Well, it robs the trees of oxygen, and so the trees grow at a certain height in the soil, and you should be able to see what's called the root flare. And so when you look at a trunk, if it's in the ground and it looks like a pencil to where it's just straight in, you know that tree's been planted too deeply. You want to look for that trunk to be expanding, and then you want to see a root flare when those roots are starting at the soil level. And so they'll want to remove the soil to the root flare
wow.
under the canopy of the trees. And what will happen is they'll grow, but they won't thrive. And some trees, like linden trees, over a period of 5 or 10 years, will start to decline and die. But sometimes if there's only an inch or two, it's okay-ish, and the roots will kind of grow up a little bit. But if they've put several inches, they're going to need to remove it.
All right. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. We are coming to you from Olson's Greenhouse this morning. The number for you to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.